Coming up next on Passion Struck, you never really think it will happen to you. You see the images on the news, homes destroyed by hurricanes, lives upended, and you think that could never be us. But when Hurricane Helene hit, I came back to a home that was no longer recognizable. And in that moment, I realized how fragile everything we build can be. Welcome to Passion Struck. Hi, I'm your host, John R. Miles. And on the show, we decipher the secrets, tips, and guidance of the world's most inspiring people and turn their wisdom into practical advice for you and those around you. Our mission is to help you unlock the power of intentionality so that you can become the best version of yourself. If you're new to the show, I offer advice and answer listener questions on Fridays. We have long-form interviews the rest of the week with guests ranging from astronauts to authors, CEOs, creators, innovators, scientists, military leaders, visionaries, and athletes. Now, let's go out there and become Passion Struck. Hey, Passion Struck fam, I'm welcoming you back for episode 516 of the Passion Struck podcast. But today's episode is different. This week, we're diving into something deeply personal for me, something that shook my life to its core. Before we dive into it, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in earlier this week. I had two incredible conversations with Diego Perez, better known as Young Pueblo, where we explored the transformative power of intention, and with Dr. Jessica Kriegel, who shared expert strategies on how to build intentional workplace cultures that thrive. If you haven't listened to those episodes yet, I highly encourage you to check them out. Now, let's talk about what I'm sharing with you today. I was really questioning what I should do this Friday episode on, whether I should keep it into a normal one like I always do, or if I should explore the raw emotions that I'm feeling. I decided to go with the latter. So here goes. We've all seen the images, the photos of flooded streets, homes destroyed, families picking through the wreckage of their lives. I've scrolled them on social media myself, seen the news reports, and like so many others, I felt sympathy for the people going through it. But there was always a part of me that thought, that will never happen to me. Living in Tampa Bay, Florida, sure, hurricanes are a part of life here. I always thought we're far enough inland that we've never expected the worst. We had weathered storms before. Over the years, we'd gotten used to boarding up windows, stocking up on supplies, and waiting for the winds and the rain to pass. I had a generator. It had become routine. What was there to fear? When Hurricane Helene was forecasted to be over 120 miles away, I didn't think much of it. Like so many times before, I figured we'd be fine. We prepared, but not in a panic. I mean, why would we? Then came the mandatory evacuation order. I remember thinking it felt unnecessary. The storm wasn't supposed to hit us directly, but there was something different about this one, something unsettling that I couldn't shake. So we packed up some essentials, secured the house, rented a hotel room, waterproofed where we could, and left, thinking it was better to be safe than sorry. Thank God we left when we did. Helene brought with it 8-foot storm surge, and within hours, 3 feet of water had rushed into our home. By the time we returned, our house, the place we'd built, our lives, was underwater. Everything we owned had been destroyed. In the blink of an eye, everything was gone. Coming back to our home was like stepping into a nightmare. I'll never forget the moment we pulled into our neighborhood, only to find the streets we knew so well turned into rivers. The water had risen so high that houses were half submerged, and it was hard to even recognize where we were. When we finally reached our house, the sight of it nearly broke me. The front yard was littered with debris from who knows where. Pieces of outside furniture, clothing, and what was left of some of our belongings floated in the murky water. Everything was soaked, ruined. I could barely comprehend what I was seeing. Walking through the front door was like entering another world. The smell hit me first, the smell of dampness and rot, the stench of everything decomposing right before my eyes. Our furniture was overturned, floating, or sunk in the water. The walls were swollen, soggy with water, and the floors were covered in mud and debris. What used to be our living room, the heart of our home, was now a disaster zone. Everything was destroyed. I couldn't believe it. There was no way to prepare for that kind of devastation. It's like being in war. You stand there, looking at the wreckage and think, how could this possibly be happening to us? At that moment, standing in the middle of our wrecked house, I felt utterly overwhelmed. It wasn't just the loss of things. It was the loss of our life as we knew it. Our home had always been a place of comfort, safety, and love. And now it was ruined, reduced to a waterlogged mess. For the first few hours after we saw the damage, I was in shock. I walked through each room, unable to process what I was seeing. Each space held so many memories, and now all those memories felt soaked and destroyed, along with the furniture and walls. The kitchen, where we had cooked countless meals together, was unrecognizable. The living room, once filled with laughter and love, was now filled with muddy water. The bedrooms, where we had found comfort and peace, were a wreck, our belongings ruined beyond repair. At first, I felt numb, but then grief hit me like a wave. I found myself mourning not just the big things, like furniture or appliances, but the little things I never thought I'd miss. Our favorite coffee mugs, the knickknacks that we've had throughout the house, the framed photos sitting on coffee tables, our keepsake box of memories we had shared together, the kids' school projects, pictures, and artwork now destroyed. These weren't just objects. They were pieces of our lives, symbols of the life we had built, and they were gone. People often say, it's just stuff. And logically, I know they're right. But when you're standing in the middle of what used to be your home, surrounded by the remnants of your life, it feels like much more than just stuff. It feels like you are losing a part of yourself. The grief wasn't just about the loss of possessions. It was about the loss of normalcy, the loss of everything that makes us feel safe. And then came the fear. How were we supposed to move forward from this? How do you rebuild when everything you've built is destroyed? The path forward felt overwhelming. It still does. Every step we took revealed more destruction, more uncertainty, more fear of what lay ahead. But here's the thing. In the midst of that darkness, something incredible happened. Our friends showed up. People I hadn't spoken to in months. Some of them facing their own post-storm challenges, dropped everything to help us. They came with boxes, trash bags, shop vacs, power cords, tools, and hands ready to work. Together, we started packing up what little could be salvaged, moving our waterlogged belongings out into the front yard in the pod we had rented. Our yard, once so peaceful and familiar, now looked like a war zone. Piles of debris were scattered everywhere. Furniture, clothing, personal items, all ruined. Looters driving by trying to pick up what they could. But we weren't alone. Our friends were right there beside us, helping us carry the heavy, soaked pieces of our lives out of the house. Without them, honestly, I don't know how we would have managed. They didn't just help physically. They cared for us in ways I didn't even realize we needed. They ordered food when we were too exhausted to even think about eating. They made sure we stayed hydrated, reminding us to take breaks when it all felt too overwhelming. They sat with us during the quiet moments, just letting us cry, vent, or sit in silence. In those dark hours, their kindness gave us hope. It's in moments like these that you truly understand the power of community. Our friends showed up when we needed them most, and their support carried us through these painful days. They reminded us that even though we had lost everything, we still had each other, and that made all the difference. As we slowly started to pick up the pieces and rebuild, I realized that while we had lost so much, we had also gained something invaluable, perspective. Here are five important lessons I learned from this experience. First, your self-worth isn't defined by what you own. When everything you own is destroyed, you're forced to confront what truly matters. It's easy to tie your self-worth to your home, your possessions, your achievements. But when those things are taken away, you realize that your value isn't in the things you own. It's in who you are. Our identity is not the house we lived in or the objects we surrounded ourselves with. It's in our character, our relationships, and our ability to adapt in the face of adversity. Ask yourself, what are you holding on to that defines you? Are you valuing yourself based on things you can lose? Because when those things are stripped away, let me tell you, what's left is your core, who you are, and how you respond to life's challenges. Second, community is everything. Before Hurricane Helene, I thought I understood the value of community, but it wasn't until we lost everything that I truly understood its power. Our friends didn't just help us physically. They lifted us up emotionally. They gave us the strength to keep going when all we wanted to do was collapse. In times of crisis, it's the people around you who make all the difference. They are your lifeline, your support system, and your source of strength. Think about your own life. How strong is your community? Are you investing in the relationships around you? Because when life throws you a storm, whether literal or figurative, it's the people in your corner who will help you weather it. Third, you're stronger than you think. When we first saw the damage, I didn't know how we would ever recover. It felt impossible. But day by day, We continue to make progress. We found strength we didn't know we had. The human spirit is incredibly strong, and when you're pushed to your limits, you find out just how much you can endure. We learned that we are capable of more than we ever thought possible. And I want you to know that you're stronger than you think. Whether you're facing a storm, a personal setback, or a major life change, remember that you can handle more than you realize. Fourth, adaptability is key to survival. Life is unpredictable, and when disaster strikes, the ability to adapt is essential. We had to let go of the life we thought we'd live and embrace the new reality in front of us. Rebuilding from scratch means making tough decisions about what to keep and what to let go of. It means accepting that life will look different now, but it also means discovering that change, while painful, can lead to new beginnings. Ask yourself, where in your life can you be more adaptable? How can you embrace change instead of resisting it? Finally, fifth, gratitude changes everything. Amid the chaos and loss, we found ourselves feeling incredibly grateful. Grateful that we had evacuated when we did. Grateful that our family and dogs were safe. Grateful for the friends who showed up and the strangers who offered support. Gratitude has a way of shifting your perspective. It doesn't take away the pain. It helps you focus on what truly matters. We learned that even in the darkest moments, there's always something to be thankful for. I encourage you to practice gratitude. What are you thankful for right now in this moment? It doesn't take away the pain, but it helps you find strength in what's left. The road to rebuilding is long, and it's not easy. We know it will take time to recover physically, emotionally, and financially. But through this experience, we've gained something we never expected, a new perspective on life. Rebuilding isn't just about replacing what was lost. It's about creating something new, something stronger. We are taking this opportunity to rethink what matters, to rebuild with intention, and to focus on the things that truly make life meaningful. We will rebuild, and when we do, it won't be just about putting up new walls or buying new furniture. It will be about creating a space that reflects the lessons we've learned, the importance of resilience, community, adaptability, and gratitude. Hurricane Helene may have taken away our home, but it didn't take away what's most important: the people we love, the strength we found, and the hope that carries us forward. We are stronger than any storm, and we will rebuild together. As we wrap up this episode, I want to take a moment to reflect. Losing everything in Hurricane Helene was one of the most devastating experiences of my life. But what I've learned is that even in the face of total loss, there's always an opportunity for growth. It's not easy and it's not quick, but it's possible to rebuild, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally as well. So I want to leave you with this. What's one lesson from today's story that you'll take with you? How can you start living with more gratitude, more adaptability, and more strength? In the face of adversity, these qualities are what carry us forward, and I challenge you to reflect on how you can incorporate them into your life starting today. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and review. It helps us to continue bringing these important conversations to you. And if you know someone who's facing hardship or has experienced loss, I encourage you to share this episode with them. Sometimes knowing that someone else has walked a similar path can be the first step toward healing. I'd also encourage you to help others who are still in need. You don't realize how those helping hands help you get through the lowest points in your life. You can find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes at passionstruck.com. Don't forget to check out our sponsors and deals at passionstruck.com/deals, and please consider supporting those who support the show. Before we close, I want to remind you that beyond the podcast, I'm passionate about sharing my story and insights with companies, associations, and organizations through speaking engagements. If today's story sparks something in you and you think my message could benefit someone you know or your team, head over to johnrmiles.com/speaking to learn more. Together, we can inspire and build resilience, even in the toughest times. Next week, I'm sitting down with the incredible Maha Abu-Elanine to discuss personal branding, communication, and how to navigate today's fast-changing digital landscape. It's going to be a conversation full of insights you won't want to miss.
It wasn't what I do, John. It's how I did it. I created value for them. I played the long game. I tried to build a good reputation. I worked on building a network. I worked on introducing them to my network. Those are the things that are in this book, these rules, that if you practice them, it'll make a profound difference, not just on your business, but on yourself. I talk a lot about creating value for other people as like the tenet, my DNA. Some people are motivated by money. I'm motivated by creating value for other people. And one of the benefits of creating value for other people is it actually creates value for you.
And as always, the fee for the show is simple. If you found value in today's episode, share it with someone who might need it. The greatest compliment you can give us is to share the show with those that you care about. And remember, do your best to apply what you hear on the show so that you can live what you listen. Until next time, live life passion struck.